listening to the Paul McGuire Report. This is Paul McGuire broadcasting to you from Southern California, and thank you for listening wherever you are on planet Earth, whether it's the European Union, Asia, South America, Britain, the USA, Canada, wherever you are, greetings. And on today's program, once again, we will be talking about the truth. Now, that should not be a distinguishing factor in announcing any radio program, any communication. One would assume, without having to go through a big mental process and thinking about it, one would assume that the majority of media outlets, media spokespeople, pastors, experts, or whatever, one would assume, and that's a dangerous thing to do, one would assume that they would be interested in telling you the truth, and they're not, and that they have some kind of moral conscience, because after all, if you really love your neighbor as yourself, and we're too haughty in America, we're too proud, that used to be, I mean, everyone listening to this program knows that, you know what it means. It's part of the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments that God gave Moses. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's the foundation upon which families, marriages, civilizations, nations are built upon. And when you discard one of God's primary commandments, such as love your neighbor as yourself, what you're doing is you're taking a wrecking ball to the human brain, to human consciousness, to the human conscience. You're taking a wrecking ball to it and shattering it in thousands of pieces. Because no civilization, no family, no community, no nation, nothing. There's nothing that ultimately can work unless the people involved in whatever the project is are committed to something greater than themselves. In other words, loving their neighbor as themselves. Now, every kid in America used to be able to walk through his schools, whether it was high school or grammar school or college or whatever, and prominently placed, it would be placed in the most prominent position in the school. It would usually be held up in a glass case and lit up with lights, and there would be, you know, the key things associated with the school, its achievements, you know, athletic awards, et cetera, et cetera. And you know, sometimes a seal from the state that it's in. So this was the most prestigious visual platform in every school in America. And prominently in it, there used to be, since the school systems first began, there used to be a list of the Ten Commandments, large and visible for every student to read and think about. And so the average student, whether they were religious or not, had some idea in their head about what the Ten Commandments were. They had some idea. You know, you're supposed to love God with all of thy heart, soul, and mind. You're supposed to love your neighbor as yourself. And you know the rest of the commandments. And the commandments are all based on love. Now, here we are, decades after your childhood and my childhood. Here we are in a strange place. And we no longer desire, nor do we want things like the Ten Commandments openly displayed in the school system or openly read or published in the school systems. But don't ask me Don't ask me what on earth would possess someone, no pun intended, by the way, what would possess someone, an educator, a leader, a parent, the head of the PTA or whatever, what would possess any individual to want to strike down and censor and remove the Ten Commandments? There's no rational, logical reason for it. Because whether you're religious or not, whether you believe in God or not, those Ten Commandments are incredibly beneficial and positive to all students and all people, no matter what their belief system is. It's a good thing to have in the minds of the people and young people, the Ten Commandments, because it acts as a restraining force against evil, like thou shalt not kill. So because, and I have a new book coming out that I'm very excited about, that will expose what really happened and why it happened, and more importantly, what we can do about it now. What we can do about it now after the fact. So our leadership in our nation, in every realm, in all the spheres of political power, governmental power, scientific power, and on and on and on, we made a major change. Now, I don't believe for a minute that the American people actually agreed upon this change. I don't believe the American people collectively wanted or desired this change. No. See, I'm all about truth. The Paul McGuire Report is all about truth. I don't give a blank about being popular. I don't give a blank about whether or not I'm accepted by this group or that group, and I certainly don't give a hoot whether or not I'm approved of by evangelical Christians or Bible-believing Christians. I mean, why would I care what they think? Because they are the group that largely, not all of them, there were and still are some incredible exceptions, but for the most part, the evangelical church, or the Bible-believing church, for the most part, fell asleep at the wheel. And they fell asleep. The Christian leaders, the Christian ministries, the Christian schools, individual Christians, collectively fell asleep at the time that America entered into what I call, with the title of my book, the greatest battle for the hearts and minds of mankind in the history of the world. The minute America and the other nations began to enter into that heated spiritual battle, what we discovered, those that were being faithful watchmen and watchwomen, those that were faithful and serving God on the front lines of the spiritual battle, those that stood up for truth, what we discovered was, as we looked around us, that there was only a small percentage of those people who called themselves evangelical Christians. There was only a small percentage of them that were actually serving in the spiritual battle. The vast majority of them were AWOL, A-W-O-L, and most of you know, especially those that have served in the military, AWOL means absent without leave from the military, from the battlefield. In other words, due to cowardice or whatever factor it is, the soldiers that are supposed to be serving the Lord can't be found on the battlefield. They are absent without leave. they disobeyed their commanding officers, and they refused to serve on the front lines of the battle. They ran for cover. And like it or not, after 40 plus years of research, primarily fueled by my studying and being mentored by Dr. Francis Schaeffer, the greatest evangelical theologian in the last 150 years, primarily fueled by his research and his overwhelming study and knowledge of both the secular world and the evangelical Christian arena. He kept writing and speaking about this in his books 35, 40, 50 years ago. Everything Francis Schaeffer wrote 40 years ago plus has come true today with alarming speed. And what he chastised the Christian culture for was for being AWOL and for accommodating. He said the great sin of the evangelical church is accommodation, accommodation, accommodation to this world spirit of this age. So what he was saying was the great sin of the evangelical church was deserting God, the true God, deserting God's word, rejecting a biblical worldview, and then accommodating your belief system so that you fit in to the secular humanist viewpoint, so you're applauded by the secular humanists. In other words, you're accommodating. You're surrendering the truth of Jesus Christ. You're surrendering a biblical worldview to people who are pagans, secular humanists, etc., etc. And he said, not me, he said that this was the great sin of the evangelical culture. He was right then 40 years ago, and he's more right now. And those words of his, when I was brand new Christian, and ironically, God has spoken through my testimony in many ways, and it has been heard by many people. And the way that God has spoken through my testimony is on multiple levels. First of all, I didn't get saved at a Christian religious retreat. I was invited to one. I went to a Christian religious retreat, but I went there to talk about Jesus, to discover whether or not the Bible was true. And when I got to this denominational retreat about an hour outside of the University of Missouri, I found that the guys and the girls who were college students were acting like sorority and fraternity guys and girls, making out in the corner. And then actually, I mean, I'm there to talk about the truth of the Word of God. I have hair down to my waist. I'm a full-on rebel into the counterculture, majoring in filmmaking and altered states of consciousness. I'm not here to play games, okay? And so I brought up the conversation of God several times, and they just dropped the ball. So finally, in disgust, I said, I'm going to leave, because nobody's discussing truth. They're playing, literally, they're playing spin the bottle. So I get up to hitchhike back to the University of Missouri, and I don't have time to get into my testimony right now, but miraculously, I had two rides out in the cornfields in the middle of nowhere, in like a field of dreams kind of experience. It was so miraculous that whenever I share it, people come to Christ. And millions of people around the world through the media, etc., have heard my testimony. And I told the guy who was sincere, who invited me to the Christian religious retreat, I told him I was going to hitchhike back to the campus of the University of Missouri. And he looked at me and said, you know, Paul, God's going to take care of your rides home. And I was trying to humor him, but privately I thought he was a religious nut. He was sincere and loving, I thought to myself, but he was also a religious nut. And so I was nice to him. I remember what he said, that God was going to take care of my rides home. And he walked away back. And I stuck out my thumb in the middle of nowhere with the cornfields. And within 3 minutes, a car pulls up and screeches to a halt on the dirt road. And it turns out to be a Pentecostal preacher and his wife who begin witnessing to me about salvation in Christ and why I needed to be born again. So here I am being ministered to by a Pentecostal preacher and his wife in the middle of nowhere. Again, it was a Field of Dreams experience, but it was real. They took me as far as they were going, and then they let me off on the dirt road again, and they went on their way because they were going another direction. And then in about 60 seconds, another car comes roaring in onto the dirt road. The driver slams on the brakes. The dust from the dirt is blowing everywhere. And he offers to give me a ride. And it turns out that the guy who offers to give me a ride is a Bible salesman wearing a three-piece dark suit, kind of like an undertaker. And he's got a station wagon. Remember those? He's got a station wagon jam-packed with black leather and gold King James Bibles, just packed with King James Bibles. And we start going down the road in the middle of nowhere, and he lets go of the steering wheel, you know, and he's his method of witnessing and evangelism is not like the style that's used today. His definition of like friendship evangelism would be completely different than the way it's used today. He used a shotgun approach. So he said to me, you know, he basically cut to the chase and he said to me, if you were to die tonight, do you know if you'd go to heaven? That was his opening line. Oh, and he said, I said, I didn't know if I was going to go to heaven. And then he told me what I'd like to know, and I said, yes. And then he said to me, do you want to pull off on the side of the road, and we'll pray, and you can invite Jesus Christ into your life? And I'm saying to my, oh, and he has let go of the steering wheel for the last 8 minutes. He isn't even holding on to the steering wheel. He's not even really looking at the road in front of him. He's looking at me because I'm in the passenger seat. And he's preaching to me. And he's holding up a giant King James Bible. And he's not looking at the road. And then he says, you want to pull off on the side of the road and pray the sinner's prayer? And I said, yes. Which was odd for me because I was raised an atheist and an existentialist, and I didn't even believe in the word or the concept of sin. And then I'm saying to myself, great, this guy is probably a religious axe murderer pervert, and he's going to pull off on the side of the road, chop off my head and bury me in bushes. I mean, I was very paranoid because I was from New York City. And the only thing I knew about, you know, born again Christians and people like him, they were all crazy. So anyway, we get back into the car and he asked me if I want to pray the sinner's prayer. And he just said, repeat after me. And essentially it was a very short prayer where I asked Jesus to forgive me of my sins. I asked Jesus to cleanse me with his blood. And then I repeated after him. I simply invited Jesus Christ to come into my heart and to make me born again. Now remember, I don't even consider myself a sinner because I was raised an atheist. They don't believe in sin. They don't believe in God either. But for some reason, I repeated the prayer. And I felt nothing. And then I got to the campus of the University of Missouri, and I'm not going to get into the rest of the story. The rest of the story is mind-blowing. Because even though I felt nothing, the next day I had the most overwhelming, revolutionary experience a person can have, when it was like as if the sky cracked open, not in a physical sense, but a spiritual sense, and I saw God. And I knew at that moment, I knew that I knew that I knew that Jesus Christ was who he said he was. I knew that Jesus Christ was God at that moment, and that everything else I was into was false and illusion. I knew instantaneously that the New Age, that meditation, that yoga, altered states of consciousness, and all the mystical experiences I had were complete falsehoods, and that only Jesus was God. Now, there's so much more to the story. I mean, the jet has not even taken off. But I wanted to put that into the story because it gives you context for what happened. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. We're going to be back in just a moment. You are listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. I was sharing with you just a little short snippet of my testimony, but the most powerful miracles that I experienced I don't have time to get into today. By the way, we do have my testimony in the Paul McGuire archives, on the Roku channel, in our video channels, and all of that is free, obviously, at paulmcguire.us. So, where am I going with this? Where I'm going with this is, you know, I'm convinced at this time in my life that I was, yeah, you could say indoctrinated. I was indoctrinated as a child by my parents, who were, quote, free-thinking atheists, that the Christian God was just total stupidity. And basically, you had to be an idiot to be a Christian. I mean, I'm not making that up for your sake. That's the way I was raised. I remember I grew up in an all-Jewish neighborhood. Not all Jewish neighborhood, but a primarily Jewish neighborhood. All my friends, or most of my friends, were Jewish. So in the neighborhood that I grew up in New York City, Jackson Heights, Queens, we had a lot of Catholic kids that went to the Catholic school. And then we had all the Jewish kids that went to the public school, and then the secular type kids like I was that also went to the public school. And just to give you an idea of my first encounter with being evangelized, it went down like this. I was walking around somewhere in Jackson Heights, and I was crossing the street or something. I don't know how old I was. I'm guessing I was 10 years old. That's a guess. It's around. And these two, you know, I'm tall. I'm 6 feet tall. But these two Catholic guys that I bumped into were older than I was. And they were also taller. I think they were like 6'4 and 6'3. And they played on the basketball team or something. So they like corner me, and they want to know if I'm Catholic or not, because first they asked me, where do you go to school? And they wanted to know that because they wanted to know, since I kind of look like they did, you know, I'm Irish, they were Irish Catholic, they wanted to know why they hadn't ever seen me at the Catholic school. And I didn't go to the Catholic school. So then they very aggressively grabbed me and said, "What religion are you?" So, you know, I know what they wanted to hear. They wanted to hear that I was Catholic, but I really wasn't in the mood for lying to appease them. So I didn't know what to really say. I thought it was weird to say atheist because that was like so inflammatory. I figured hellfire and damnation would come upon me. So then I just said an alternative word, which my parents use. And I, when the Catholic guy said, "What religion are you?" I said, "I'm an existentialist." Well, you can imagine the reaction, their reaction to me saying that I'm an existentialist. That turned out to be worse. I'm laughing now. It wasn't funny at the time. It was tragic at the time. Well, it turns out to two Catholic guys, saying you're an existentialist, first of all, they never heard of the word, but it sounded really like an abomination. And it sounded to them far worse than being an atheist. So when I said I was an existentialist, I experienced Armageddon. I mean, they just, remember, this is a different time. Jackson Heights was a middle-class neighborhood, but those were the days when people, you know, you better have had learned how to defend yourself, because chances are you were going to get attacked on the streets of Jackson Heights. You know, it was just part of life. And I was experiencing part of life right then at that moment. My first taste of being evangelized. Because for not being a Catholic, they then jumped on me and, you know, their fists were flying. My fist was flying in defense mode. And I'm trying to guard my head from getting it split open. So they're beating me like with fury because I said I was an existentialist. And then, I don't know, they got tired of beating me into a pulp. But that was the first time I experienced somebody trying to convert me to Christ. Okay, so there were lots of experiences like that. So many years later, when I attended the University of Missouri, you know, all this stuff is in the back of my brain regarding Christians. But the Jesus movement had now invaded the University of Missouri. And the Christian college students, most of them were energized by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so it was different. There was a power, an anointing, and a love in the witnessing that I'd never seen anywhere in my entire life. So it was through these Christians witnessing to me. I read books like David Wilkerson. And then somebody gave me a book called Escape from Reason by Dr. Francis Schaeffer. And Dr. Francis Schaeffer blew my mind right out the window, because of all the books that I've read in my life, I had never seen anyone write with such intellectual, historical, and theological clarity. And Schaeffer basically dissected and dismantled the argument for humanism and atheism and liberal Christianity. And then he presented an irrefutable argument regarding the truthfulness of the Word of God, the truthfulness of a biblical worldview, and the truthfulness of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And his philosophical and Christian theological writings transformed my life, because after reading Schaeffer, I realized for the first time in my life that it was possible to be intelligent and to be a Christian at the same time. So I had a radical conversion experience, and it changed my life in every way. All my friends that weren't saved thought it was going to be a phase, you know, that this is Paul McGuire's Jesus freak phase. But I've been walking with Jesus since the 70s, and it wasn't a phase, and it never will be a phase. And I'm going to keep on doing what I'm doing. Occupy until I come. Preach the gospel until I come. Make disciples of all nations. I'm going to keep serving Jesus until he comes to take me to heaven. And my passion for Jesus Christ has not even remotely diminished over the years and decades. My passion for Jesus Christ has increased. The fire, the intensity, the anointing has not dwindled. It has increased over the days, decades, and years. You say, well, how can that be? Well, it's very simple. I'm not trying to emotionally whip myself up. It's just that when you think about God, when you meditate on God's word, when you study and research and read books, for crying out loud, that help you to build a strong biblical worldview in your life, and you pray and you worship God, a very amazing thing happens. God, without your effort, begins to clothe you with power from on high. God begins to anoint you. God begins to set you on fire with the power of his Holy Spirit. And that passion and that zeal and that anointing, it doesn't subside. It doesn't dwindle. It increases. It increases. Now, that doesn't mean every day you're having a mountaintop experience. It doesn't mean you don't have trials and tribulations. It doesn't mean that you don't have adversities, because you do have all those negative things. It's just that God gives you the power to be an overcomer. So I wanted to share that with you. I wanted to share that with you so that you might personally enter in to the presence of the Lord and receive that anointing and receive that blessing, because there's nothing mysterious about it. You don't have to bend yourself in the shape of a pretzel for God to do that in your life. And I just wanted to pass that on to you, because so many people make a relationship with Christ so unnecessarily complicated. And it's not complicated. The whole secret of a relationship with Christ is in its simplicity, not its complexity. Okay, so now, my hunger for truth, reading Schaefer, my life experiences. And I'm telling you, I have a hunger for truth that is ravenous. I have a passion for the Lord, a passion for a biblical worldview, and a passion for ministering the gospel that is unquenchable, okay? And the one thing that I want to share with you is that God wants to anoint each one of his people. God wants to anoint each one of you listening to my voice now, no matter where you are, in the United States, on planet Earth, whatever nation you're in, wherever you are on planet Earth, God wants to anoint you with the power of his Holy Spirit. God wants to clothe you with power from on high. God wants to fill you with the Holy Spirit. God wants to renew your mind. And so the external circumstances of your life may not all instantly and radically change, but you will find that if you open yourself up to it in worship to the Lord, he'll fill you with the rivers of living water, and you'll receive his supernatural power and the outpouring of his Holy Spirit, and you will discover that all of a sudden, you are walking in victory and the Lord is using you supernaturally. The Lord's using you beyond your own strength and abilities. And you take up wings as eagles, as the Bible says. So, the joy of the Lord is our strength. You don't have to fake it. It's not about performing a bunch of legalistic duties. It doesn't happen by taking out a yellow legal pad and writing down every sin you have committed during the day, okay, and enter into some hyper-legalistic state. It comes by entering into the rest of the Lord, not the sleep of the Lord, because you're not supposed to be asleep when you're supposed to be awake. It's time for sleeping, and it's time for being awake. And when you begin to walk under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the circumstances don't always change. The battle doesn't always disappear, but all of a sudden, you're fighting the battle in supernatural strength, supernatural anointing. And all of a sudden, you begin to experience victories that you never thought were possible before. And you know what? That is so exciting. It's such a turn on that everything in me wants to share it with you. I don't want to be selfish and keep this to myself. I want to share this with you so that your burden might be light. Jesus said to you, "My burden is easy, my yoke is light." Enter into his rest. So you're not supposed to be burdened down with these astronomical weights of despair. My burden is easy. My yoke is light. What Jesus is saying is, if you'll draw close to him, Jesus will carry the yoke of your burden. Jesus' supernatural strength will carry the yoke of your burden. So your burden is easy. Yoke is light. His yoke is light. And that's an incredible thing to enter into. And God wants you to enter into it. In fact, this program goes out all over the world, all different nations. We get feedback and correspondence all over the United States, all over the world. It just blows my mind how God leads people to this program. And that's because of so many of you that are so faithful, because there are powerful forces trying to censor our message all the time. But many of you are faithful and spreading our messages far and wide. Because of you, people are being ministered to and touched and healed and saved, and they're being set free. So I want to share this with you right now. That is, no matter what trials or trial you're experiencing, no matter what adversity you may be experiencing, whether it's sickness or financial difficulties or health difficulties, whatever spiritual battle you're facing. And you know what? These spiritual battles that we face can be in all kinds of areas. But the devil sends them to wear us down and try to instill a sense of defeat in us. So I want to share something with you right now, from my heart to your heart. And I believe the Lord is calling me to share this with you. I believe the Lord wants you to hear it. And not only that, I believe the Lord wants you to receive it. And that is the secret of a victorious Christian life, a secret of how to be an overcomer. And once again, the secret to how to be an overcomer and live the victorious Christian life is in its simplicity, not its complexity. The biggest secret I can share with you is that it is impossible to live the Christian life. It's impossible. It's impossible for you on your own strength to win all these battles, to be victorious over all these battles. The secret of the Christian life is to turn the weight, the battle, the concern, turn it over to the Lord. You place it in His hands. That's the secret. And so it's not by your strength. It's by His strength. It's by His strength. And the way you activate that is by putting your faith in Jesus Christ and putting your faith in the promises of God. And if you do that, the power of God will come down upon you. The power of God will come down on any situation, and God Almighty will turn the tide of the spiritual battle. I don't know where you are on planet Earth, but the Lord is talking to you personally, and the Lord is talking to you specifically right now about the principle I'm sharing with you. And the Lord is literally knocking on the door of your heart right now, and He wants you to open the door of your heart, and He wants you to receive the power and anointing of His Holy Spirit, and He wants you to place the weight of the burdens and the battles in His hand, and He wants you to use your faith to trust Him to bring about spiritual victory. And the Lord wants to release that in your life right now as you hear my voice speaking to you. The Lord wants to release that right now in your life. So if you desire to see God step into your life and release His power and His victory in a new dimension, then I want to encourage you to join with me in this brief prayer. And God is faithful. God will answer your prayer, and God will do for you what you're asking to do. So just join me in this prayer. Say it out loud, which you should, but if that's inconvenient, pray silently. Let's all of us, wherever we are on earth, let's come to the Lord together. Lord Jesus Christ, we come boldly into your presence through the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus, we ask that you would cleanse us of all sin. Lord God, we ask you right now, we reach out our hands and we ask you right now to clothe us with power from on high, to fill us with the rivers of living water. And God, we reach out to you and receive from you right now your supernatural power, your supernatural anointing. We receive being clothed with power from on high. And Lord, we receive the supernatural power to win victory, to be an overcomer, to be victorious in the spiritual battle. So just spend a few seconds giving the weight of the battle over to the Lord. Many of you are weary. The Lord wants you to turn over your weariness to Him and allow Him to fight the battle. Allow Him to fight the battle. So just praise the Lord out loud. Lord, praise you, Jesus. We praise you that you're King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We praise you, Lord, that because we've come boldly to your throne, asking for your help, that right now, at this moment, you supernaturally are releasing your help, releasing your power, and releasing your strength supernaturally into our lives, God. We praise your name, Jesus. So just worship the Lord. Praise your name, Jesus. And as you're worshiping the Lord, the presence of the Lord is being poured out on you right now, Jesus. The presence of the Lord is being poured out on your particular situation or situations right now, in the name of Jesus. As you're worshiping the Lord right now in the name of Jesus, you're being supernaturally strengthened and you're being supernaturally quickened by the power of the Holy Spirit. Praise your name, Jesus. Praise your name, Jesus. And so as you praise the name of Jesus out loud, there's a shaking that's occurring in your spiritual man or woman, and a shaking that's occurring in the spiritual battles that you're dealing with. And you continue to praise the Lord. Lord, I praise you. I worship you for the victory, God. We praise your name, Jesus. We thank you, God, for pouring out your Spirit and shattering every yoke in the name of Jesus. We praise you, God, that you're driving back the power of the devil and the power of the enemy with your authority in the name of Jesus. Praise your name, Jesus. Praise your name, Jesus. Now allow the Lord to fill your inner man or woman with his Spirit. Lord, we receive by faith the outpouring of your Spirit in our inner man or our inner woman. And we thank you, Lord, right now in the name of Jesus for supernaturally lifting us up above the spiritual battle as your holy presence fills us and fills the situation. We praise your name, Jesus. We worship you, God, and we thank you for breaking every yoke. We thank you, Lord, for destroying demonic power. We thank you, Lord, that your holy force is driving the power of the enemy off every arena of your life right now in the name of Jesus. And we praise you that as we're praising your name and worshiping you, you're lifting us up above the spiritual battle, and we're looking down on it from the position of victory. We're not looking up at it from the position of being trampled upon. So we worship you, Lord. We praise your name, God. Fill us with your Spirit. Break every yoke with your anointing. We thank you that the enemy, the demons from hell, are fleeing, God, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you that right now, Lord, you have released your destiny. You have released your power. You have released your victory into our midst. We praise you and thank you for what you're doing, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. We'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. This is Paul McGuire. One of the great secrets of experiencing the power of the Lord in your life in order to be victorious in any situation is found in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, where it says, "So he answered and said to me, 'This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but my spirit, says the Lord of hosts.'" So what the Lord is saying to this prophet, and he's also saying to you and me, that the way we defeat any adversary, the way we're victorious in any situation, comes down to this: not by human might, nor by human power, but my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. So the Lord is saying to you and me, no matter what spiritual battle we're involved in, the way that we win the battle, the way that we are victorious, is not by human struggle and human might. That's why it says, not by might, nor by power, but my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. So we don't get tempted in trying to fight the spiritual battle on our own human strength, energy, and willpower. We're just going to burn ourselves out. That's why it says, not by might nor by power, but my spirit, says the Lord of hosts, to the degree that we're willing to open ourselves right now at this moment, to the degree that we're willing to open ourselves up to the Spirit of the Lord, it's to that degree that the Lord will fill us overflowing with His Spirit, and we'll discover that we will be victorious in these spiritual battles. Now, that should cause you to be like amped up and excited, because it means it's not up to you. By faith, you're relying on His power. You know, my entire Christian life, dating back to after I got saved, I have found myself going, traveling, visiting, attending, wherever I believe the Spirit of the Lord was moving, wherever the Word of God was being taught faithfully. I aggressively pursued, sometimes, you know, driving hours and hours or traveling to another state or whatever, but I aggressively pursued being in places where the Lord was. Because as you probably already discovered yourself, when you're in places that the Lord is, the presence of the Lord that is in that place, or the anointing that's resting on that teacher or minister or whatever, it gets poured out upon you. The presence of the Lord begins to be poured out on you. The rivers of living water get to be poured out on you. And you are transformed. And without you realizing it, you become like the people, the persons, the spiritual atmosphere, the spiritual leaders that you respect. You become like them because you're pursuing the same Spirit of God that they are. I would travel hours to be where the Lord was. And I remember, this was many years ago, my wife, Christina, we were both, we were married at the time, and we were part of the ministry of Dr. Jack Hayford's Church on the Way. And we also were members of the Church on the Way. And we had gone there for like 25 years or something. And my wife used to attend this special women's prayer meeting. It was an intercessory prayer meeting. And it wasn't that announced. It was announced kind of like word of mouth. Those that needed to know somehow found out about it. Those people that were really pursuing the Spirit of God, they found out where it was, and they would always attend. And I remember dropping my wife off a number of times and listening in. Oh, it was only for women. The intercessory prayer meeting was only for women. And it was led by Jack Hayford's mother. Now, she has since gone on to be with the Lord. But she was up in years even then. And Jack Hayford's mother led this intercessory prayer meeting for women. And I remember every time I dropped my wife was raving about it, about how the power of God and the presence of God and the anointing of God was just being poured out through Jack Hayford's mother, and it was just filling the prayer sanctuary, and you were just being filled with the gushing rivers of living water, and healed and delivered, and miracles were happening. So that hearing about that excited me. And you know, so like I'm like very into pursuing where God is. And I wanted that anointing in me. I wanted to be touched by that anointing. I wanted to be filled with that anointing. And this is a like between me and you right now. She's in heaven. But generally, I respect the rules, okay? But I couldn't stay very long. I was just dropping my wife off, and I would sense the presence of the Lord so uniquely. And I would sense the presence of the Lord coming through Jack Hayford's mother so uniquely. And again, she was had to be in her, at this time, in her late 60s. Or even older. Maybe her early 70s. But the anointing of God was on her. I mean, the real thing. You know what I'm saying? And so I said, I'm going to just walk and try to inconspicuously sit in the back, away from the woman, you know, and just soak in this anointing, drink in this teaching and anointing, because it was obvious to me that Jack Hayford's mother had a deep revelation and walked in it about intercessory prayer. Okay? She had lived it. And there was no question in my mind that the incredible success and fruitfulness of the Church on the Way and Jack Hayford's ministry worldwide was birthed by the intercessory prayers of his mother. I literally believe that if Jack Hayford's mother had not caught on fire with the Holy Spirit and had not become an intercessory prayer warrior, and if she had not consecrated herself to praying for her son in intercessory prayer, he would never have been risen up and the powerful global leader for Jesus Christ that he became. So I would sit in the back, and I was very quiet, and I noticed that Jack Hayford's mother noticed that, you know, I was in the room, and obviously I was a male. And I could see her think for a second. But you see, Jack Hayford's mother was about listening to the Holy Spirit, not about legalism. Now, there's some meetings and stuff like that where men should not be, you know, because women need to be ministered to in certain ways. But she decided to overlook the fact that I was male. She obviously discerned from the Lord that I was hungry for Jesus, and I was there to seek Jesus. I wasn't there to play games. And so she could have, with the snap of her finger, had her assistants, you know, make me leave because I was male, but she never did that. And I attended this women's intercessory prayer meeting led by Jack Hayford's mother for, I don't know, a year or two or a year or something. And then my schedule changed, so I couldn't do it. But just being in the atmosphere of heaven in that room, just sitting under a woman who the anointing of God was rich upon her. What happens when you choose, when you make a decision to do that, that anointing, that presence of the Lord begins to fill you up. It begins to transform you. The rivers of living water coming out of her, the power. And then I began to learn how to pray intercessory prayers that get answered and with great power. I learned them by watching a woman, most likely in her 70s, who had lived through it and birthed revival through her intercessory prayers. And so the Lord used that to infuse me with that kingdom reality. Praise God. I would not be sitting here talking to you today. You know, there are many building blocks for each one of us in our Christian walk. But one of the reasons, and there's many others, one of the reasons I'm sitting here with you today and that people are being touched is because of what was passed down to me through people like Jack Hayford, who basically was my spiritual father, along with about two other men, and being a part of Jack Hayford's ministry. But also, nobody was around because guys weren't allowed in the meeting. When I was there just soaking in the presence of the Holy Spirit, because his mother was a revival, and I caught revival And I was, she modeled how to pray in intercessory prayer. So I just wanted to share that with you. That's how you may look at yourself now. When I flash back to those memories, I was an amateur when it came to intercessory prayer and the presence of the Lord. I wasn't a total amateur. I mean, God moved through me and God moved. But I still had lots to learn. Okay, and by watching her model it, because now, decades later, I've been all around the world, prayed in meetings with all kinds of people, and I've prayed privately with some of the world's greatest Christian leaders, or been in ministry with them, or been guests on their TV programs and everything else. And let me tell you something. The presence of the Lord that exuded out of Jack Hayford's mother was every bit as rich and powerful as anything that I had ever experienced being around some of these great men of God. She was like an unsung hero. In fact, my wife, Chris, when she was in the hospital and she was sick, and nobody knew how long she had left on this earth, and they wanted the hospital carefully guarded because the church had, at that time, something like 25,000 people in it, and they wanted to make sure that Jack Hayford's mother could get her rest and have quiet. She was really, really sick. But my wife, feeling impressed by the Holy Spirit, drove down to where this large hospital was, and just as my wife chooses to do, she just like stealth, like an Indian walking, can't hear it. She just walked into Jack Hayford's mother's room, of course, observing to see that she wasn't intruding on her, and just prayed with her, ministered to her. Again, the presence of the Lord just pouring out on God's special servant, this faithful intercessory prayer warrior. So that's something for you to consider if you're a man or a woman, and God's knocking on the door of your heart right now, and what you're listening to right now is one way, okay? God is obviously shaping and molding and infusing you with a destiny. And what you're hearing on this program is just one way of among many that the Lord is growing you. So I want to encourage you to allow the Lord to grow you. Allow the Lord. Don't think, oh, the Lord can't use me or whatever. That's a bunch of rot. The Lord can use anybody who will come to him by faith and have his or her sins forgiven and receive the righteousness of Christ by faith. And by faith receive Christ, and you're born again. By faith be filled with the Holy Spirit, and by faith the Lord will pour his power and spirit, and you will touch so many lives. It just begins with a willing heart and a desire to pray. And I'm telling you right now, you can move mountains. Yes, I'm talking about you specifically. You think I'm talking about you? Yes, I am talking about you. You feel that nudge from God in your heart right now? Yes, that is the Lord nudging you. That's not your imagination. God is real. You feel that prodding of the Lord? You feel that touch of the Lord saying, yes, you can do this. Come up higher. Come up higher. Step up higher. I have more for you. I want you to know right now, that's not your imagination speaking to you. That's the still small voice of the Lord speaking to you. The Lord is really speaking to you now. So just receive it with childlike faith. Receive it with childlike faith and keep walking in it. And there's nothing the Lord can't do in your life. I don't care where you live. I don't care, you know, if you're from a small town or some nation in the middle of nowhere. The Lord will raise you up and the Lord will make you mighty, and the Lord will give you favor. It doesn't mean you won't have spiritual battles. You will have spiritual battles, but you will be victorious. And God wants to raise you up. The stakes are high. Remember, we are in the greatest battle for the hearts and minds of mankind in the history of the world. It's time for you. Yes, anyone that's listening to me, and you know God's touching you, respond to the touch of God. It's not a game. And remember, we do this in partnership together. We do this, I can't do it by myself. You can't do it by yourself. So I want to thank each and every one of you that have chosen to be intercessory prayer warriors for me, my family, and this ministry. I want to thank all of you who have chosen to spread our message far and wide, and you made sure to join and like and subscribe to all of our social media. It's critical that you do that. You know, people that you respect and I respect, there's a war going on. Anybody who's speaking the truth, there's a war against. I don't want to spread the name, but a ministry I respect, a man I respect, many of you know him and know the ministry. Without warning, a very, very powerful social media outlet ripped down their site. And they had like an astronomical number of followers and stuff. And they ripped down his site for speaking the truth in love about a hideous, hideous crime being waged on young people, little boys and little girls. So for daring to speak out against that, this social media giant ripped him down. We talk about good versus evil. So I need your help also in spreading the message far and wide, spreading our links far and wide. The numbers you see out there on anybody who's doing something legitimate, the numbers are rigged. Okay, they're rigged big time. Also, I want to thank all of you who have asked the Lord, Lord, what can I give in terms of a financial contribution and a donation to Paul McGuire Ministries and Paradise Mountain Church? And I want to thank each and every one of you that have made a contribution and a donation in faith. Thank you. Together, we can turn this thing around. But make no mistake about it, we're in a spiritual warfare, and it's not going to be easy. Okay? It's not going to be easy, but Jesus never said it was going to be easy. But remember, Jesus said this to you and me, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. So I wanna say this. The simplicity, the beautiful quality that Jack Hafer's mother taught other women, how to defeat their problems, how to pray for our nation, our state, our communities, how she led the women and modeled being an intercessory prayer warrior. I'm telling you, if you had heard her prayer, she was bringing down principalities and powers, the dark unseen forces of wickedness in heavenly places. They were crashing. She was before the throne room of God with her prayers. And God is calling you to be before his throne room. And do not underestimate the infinite power of the infinite personal living God of the universe. You can, yes, you can shake nations, shake homes, shake people's lives up. You can shake down the powers of darkness with overwhelming spiritual power if you'll just tiptoe out by faith in God. And in Christ, you can do all things. So I want to encourage you to join us in this spiritual battle. You know, what happens in America, what happens in your nation in the next months and year, yes, Jesus is coming back. We don't know when. But Jesus has a job for us to do before he returns, occupy until he comes. And so the degree of blessing, the amount of people that are saved, the willingness of God to protect his people in dangerous times, that's all contingent upon whether or not you and I get serious with the Lord and come boldly to the throne of grace to find an ever-present help in time of need. And we want to use every technology. That's why I'm asking for your help. I'm asking you to go before the Lord and ask the Lord to show you what to do. And we need to use every technology at our disposal. We need to expand our outreach. We expand to be more effective and strategic in our communications. Because, again, like I've said with the title of my book, we are in the greatest battle for the hearts and minds of mankind in the history of the world. So we need to fight it strategically and effectively. And to the degree that we're relying on the power of God, that's to the degree we will see victory. And I want to encourage you to walk in that by faith. Walk in that by faith. Seize the land by faith. God has a call on your life. Yes, he does. Don't say he doesn't. God has a call on every one of his children's life. And God knew you before the foundation of the world. He equipped you to be here for such a time as this. It's not an accident. It's not an accident. So I need you to man the battle stations, folks, to join me in prayer, to spread the word, to ask the Lord how you can help financially, and join with us in doing what God has called us to do. I'm not here to play games. I don't think you are either. Together, we can be victorious in what God has called us to do. God bless you. This is Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us.